Recorded Books presents The Legend of Tarik by Walter Dean Myers. Narrated by Ron Butler. Part 1. Chapter 1. It came to pass, 4 generations after the message of the prophet had reached the ears of men, that the family of Kwese-Nta found itself on hard times. They were merchants, trading in dyes near the highlands west of the river Niger. But when the wars between the followers of Bilal and the followers of the Christians closed the caravan routes to the east, all trade became impossible. And Ta watched as things went from bad to worse, until finally he knew that he would have to move his family. It was either this or watch them starve. And so, on the first new moon after the Feast of the Two Moons, And Ta moved his family, which included his wives, Ime and Opari, and their 3 sons, Mato, Tarik, and Umeme. They traveled northward until they reached the place called Ulata. There was good trading at Ulata, and Nta felt that there would be a place there for his family. He built a home in the middle of a stand of wild olive trees, and was greatly pleased by what he had done. But still, in the evenings, he would gaze off into the distance whence he came, and the lands familiar to him and to his fathers before him. There was much trade in gold at Ulata. As was the custom, those who would trade their wares brought them to the place of silent barter, and left them there for weights of gold. Here Nta brought his dyes, leaving them for the silent traders of Ulata who would take them and leave gold where the dyes had been. So it was for nearly 2 years that Kwese-Nta lived and kept his family in peace and tranquility. Then one day, like the brooding of an ugly storm that sweeps from the mountains, talk of war darkened the sun of Ulata. Many fled, as they had earlier from the highlands and from the other places in Al-Gebulan that the war had touched. But the silent traders of Ulata did not flee, nor did Kwese-Nta. The noises of war, echoed at first only on the lips of those who had not seen its consequence, now came close to Ulata. And Ta, a man of stubborn pride, tried to lift himself above the war, even as an eagle lifts itself above the tops of mountains to catch the stirring wind. But the warriors of the north who came upon Ulata cared for neither man nor eagle. It was said that the fierce leader who swept through the cities and the villages, killing all who dared oppose him, was the son of the son of the son of Genserek. When this was said, it was done with trembling lips. Such was the history of that noted family. The invading army reached Ulata, and there was none who opposed it. The people did not dare show their naked faces to the conquerors, but bowed their heads as they passed by. The leader of the warriors who fell upon Ulata was Artia Akwara. But he was not called by this name. Rather, he was called El Muerte, first by his warriors and then by all men. It was said that El Muerte slept always alone, for any living thing that spent the night with him would be dead in the morning. Such was his evil. Nor was there a living thing that he loved, or beauty that he would not destroy. This was what came to Ulata, calling itself a man. At first, the people of Ulata resisted, but they were no match for the ferocity of El Muerte's warriors. Finally, the chiefs called upon the people to cease their resistance before they were all killed. On the day that the people of Ulata laid down their weapons and brought forth their goods to pay homage to their conquerors, the sun did not shine. The sky was the color of old silver, and ravens circled high above the city. The circling ravens were a bad omen, Nta thought. That morning, before the night had given up its darkness, a stork had been found dead in front of a holy place. That, too, was a bad omen. When the people of Ulata had spread their homage upon the ground in front of El Muerte, he was not satisfied.
"Slaves!" he shouted. "Slaves and more gold!"
The people of Ulata shrank back in terror.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?